Well, looking in at the grotto, surrounded by a lot of people from all over, I thought, sure, why not? It's grubby enough. It's ordinary enough. This could be it. And if it isn't, well, it's as good a place as any in this city that's always under oppression, always on edge. I'm referring, of course, to Bethlehem and my experience almost 40 years ago now of visiting the Church of the Holy Nativity and the very spot, according to tradition, where Mary bedded down and through the ordeal that is human reproduction, birthed the most consequential human being to have wandered the continents of this planet. Now, I didn't say the smartest, the most charismatic, the strongest, or the most attractive, or even the most creative, just the most consequential. I was entirely unimpressed as a young man, a theologically uninformed young man, when I paused briefly before the spot and then was relentlessly and inexorably pushed and rushed forward by the crowd and by the urgings of the officials. Indeed, at every place in my 3 months in Israel-Palestine, I was underwhelmed, unimpressed by the dust and grime at all the holy sites. So ordinary. I came to see in retrospect that they actually got it. They actually captured how it is that God glories in the ordinary, us grotto humans. And by glorying in the ordinary, highlights how everything about us is extraordinary. Jesus' birth is the fulfillment of the great prophetic tradition in Israel, a prime example being our reading from Isaiah tonight. This prophetic tradition was itself an evolutionary development in religion. Long story short, ancient humans intuited gods in almost all of creation, in its forces, creatures, and in the world's unfolding seasons. And there's great wisdom in that ancient view. Surely the world is really and truly suffused with divine presence, is it not? The Jews were gifted with a sense that out of this plurality, which they still affirmed at some level, you'll notice it in the psalm that we recited together, that out of this plurality there was one. Not the prime mover of the Greeks, but the lawgiver one. The one who gives us a sense of universal justice instead of justice defined by the powerful. This revelation has made possible a universal civilization while respecting cultural differences. It makes possible things like the equality of persons, the Declaration of Human Rights, and the gradual realization that majority cultures have colonized and oppressed indigenous people. Over time, it has worked like a surgeon to expose wounds and bring healing possibilities to women and those who throughout history were mistreated as scapegoats, people like our LGBTQ neighbors. A civilization of law, given by the supreme lawgiver, is an extraordinary advance on my God is better than your God. Therefore, you must now be my slave and serve my God. But something is also lost. The sheer wonder of God's closeness. The sense that now if I break God's law, I fall under God's judgment. Though God's law flows from God's loving kindness, as the Hebrew Scriptures make clear, God's identity becomes not so much provider and sustainer as judge. God can now seem to be against us instead of for us, and certainly not with us. Which is why the prophets realized this great Moses revolution, however important, however world-changing, could not be the final chapter of the story. And so you've got in the prophet Isaiah the language that brings together talk of mighty God with a child being born, with the implements of war being burned, giving way then to a human who provides such wonderful counsel that right authority can develop endlessly, leading astoundingly to universal peace. Nice romantic metaphors, Isaiah. Oh, and they're taken up by the angels as they bear them down, no pun intended, on this little cooing heart on a bed of straw. And this is, of course, the central mystery of Christmas. Okay, as I've already hinted, the prophets and the angels were wrong, weren't they? Well, I mean, yes, they are wrong, at least in terms of being read literally, at least in terms of being read in a spirit of triumph, if you will. And because this has been the main way Christmas has been presented, more and more people are not convinced. They are the ones that come to spots like this and are unimpressed. But what if the Christian message was never meant to solve the world's problems in a flourish of solutions? Or by proclaiming, as I did, as we celebrate this birth tonight, as the most consequential birth, the most consequential human being? What if that's just the wrong way to look at it? Rather, and it's kind of difficult to show, given the accoutrements of the season and the romance that surrounds it, these words are meant to convey, if you will, both the sheer ordinariness, the downright grubbiness of the original setting, and with the realization that here we have the way God works revealed. The normal way of God. And so in the years that followed my visit to the Church of the Nativity, I came to believe that God against us will not work. There is no God, even the one God, the one we call Almighty God, who will swoop down and set all the evildoers to rights. That's not going to happen. The language and the metaphors point us in a different direction. Even the language of God for us in the person of Jesus, the God who forgives us, can still feel at one remove, doesn't quite capture it. It finally must resolve into Emmanuel, God with us. Not back to your God against my God. We get to keep all the good stuff from this universal revolution, this universal revolution started by Israel, but now the one God in and through all of it. Then this one ordinary birth in a dingy grotto reveals how all that is ordinary, including every birth, every human development, is actually extraordinary. So Christmas is not about, it sounds strange to say this, being impressed by Christ as the most consequential solver of all our problems. Rather, let us be impressed by what is at first glance so unimpressive, the possibility, now that God is with us, that every birth, every life is consequential. Everything else flows from this, whether it be the justice that needs to be pursued in Bethlehem or Abbotsford, whether it be how we help our teens live in an age when image defines who's consequential or not, whether it be that neighbors, that neighbor who is alone and who needs just some very small act of kindness tonight or tomorrow, whether it be that small step of courage you're about to take in your ordinary life that no one seemingly cares about. Everything and everyone now can shine with Emmanuel, God with us. So bend down, take a brief look. It happened there, and just so it happens here, in you. Merry Christmas.